In a previous episode of Ask Dr. Gill, I discussed the concept of the blue man. And in that episode, I was discussing a core idea of something called shadow. And the blue state, or creative wholeness, if you will, is probably unlikely until you deal with your shadow. Today on the podcast, I want to discuss what shadow is and how the parts that we often reject of ourselves are actually our pathways to freedom. So stay tuned. Hello and welcome to Ask Dr. Gill. I am your host, Dr. Gill Winkleman. And today on the podcast, I want to talk about shadow and why it's important as part of growth, health, spiritual development, mental health as well. And I have an article about this on my website. It's part of the How to Let Go of Old Stories sequence in my blog, and I talk about shadow. I'm going to talk about it from a different perspective today, which is more of a traditional perspective in terms of Carl Jung's work. Carl Jung was one of the first psychiatrists. He was a medical doctor. He was a contemporary of Sigmund Freud, actually a little younger than Freud. And he came up with the concept of shadow and archetypes. And oftentimes, what we find is problematic in our lives is actually related to the shadow. So shadow is, in a simple terms, is everything we just avoid about ourselves. So we deny it, we minimize it, we refuse to acknowledge it. And this can be things that are negative, quote-unquote dark traits, anger, envy, fear, laziness, and also golden traits are power, our creativity, our confidence, any area where we're not accepting that within ourselves, that's the material that is the shadow. And as you can tell from this, this provides an opportunity for us to grow, but it also can be a really fertile ground for creativity, for learning, for exploring new things about ourselves. And just as a typical example that you may have heard of, and I'm not talking about a particular person when I give this example, which is someone who basically, you know, decides one day to quit their job in corporate America and go off and sail. And they know nothing about sailing. And they quit, buy a boat, and learn how to use it and sail around the world. This is an example of how you can embrace shadow traits within yourself. And I actually recently heard a story about someone who did this and was floored by it, because sailing at all can be challenging, and sailing around the world with no experience is kind of amazing. These are the things that people do sometimes because they need to do something to push themselves beyond where they've been. And I bring this up because a lot of times the patients I'm working with anxiety, particularly anxiety and depression, but it can be anything, their issue isn't physical. It's spiritual. And it's not because they have a biochemical imbalance that they're struggling. It's because they don't want to be doing what they've been doing, and they know it deep down inside. That's shadow. How does shadow develop? Well, a lot of times it's because of our conditioning in childhood. What gets loved versus what gets rejected? And I think there are countless stories of this with people who were creative in some way, either artistically, musically, people who could write really, really well, and their families, for whatever reason, didn't reward them for those skills and kind of discouraged those skills. I heard a story about Wayne Gretzky learning to play hockey, and his parents didn't push him to do it. He just loved the game so much, he kept doing it and got really, really good because he was following what was his path. And I think that is often the challenge for people in life, is they intuit, like we intuitively know what is right for us. And sometimes either teachers or parents or, you know, clergy, whatever it is, there's cultural messages about what is and isn't acceptable in terms of our lives and what it is that we can and cannot do. And I think that this can overwhelm our nervous system. And I think that this is something that is often innocent by parents, because as a parent, I want my kids to be able to support themselves and move through the world. I also want them to be happy. And sometimes those can be seemingly at odds. And it's interesting to watch how many of my son, particularly my son's classmates, because they're further along, I would say, they are choosing paths that my family of origin would not have allowed for them to, if they were the parents, would have sort of supported in that regard. And my son is exploring a path that is very unique, I would say. I'm really proud of the path that he is exploring without going into details about that. But it's not a traditional path that people in our society follow. And I think it's interesting. That's shadow. He's been doing shadow work. He's been finding these skills that he has that none of us knew he had when he was younger. The other thing about shadow developing in sort of in terms of unconscious patterns that are maybe negative, trauma and survival strategies as a result of the trauma, those can develop, things can develop as a result of that and impact us in ways that drive things underground, if you will. And our nervous system wants to protect us from things that are really painful, as well as things that are too excitable sometimes. And that's part of this as well. This is part of where the shadow aspects might be developing as well. One of the things I will say that's interesting is that oftentimes the shadow might be running the show without you knowing it's running the show. And one of the clearest ways to see this is something called projection. Now, this is a psychology term where you take an aspect of yourself and put it on someone else. So it's something you can't face within yourself. As an example, and usually there's strong emotion around it. You might really, really admire someone who's a skilled artist. And that could be a clue that you actually have talent there. Or you might be really jealous of someone who's a skilled artist. Again, that's another clue. And in a negative way, you could project someone who, for example, I'm going to use a minor example, smacks their lips while they're eating their food. That might be something you do, but it annoys you to hear it in someone else, because it's reminding you of something that you do yourself. And sometimes people just don't like the sound of lip smacking either. But you get the idea. So usually there's an overreaction and disproportionate emotional responses in these situations, right? That's usually a sign it's projection of something that you're not looking at in yourself. The other thing is that oftentimes we find ourselves in relationships that there's a repeating pattern happening either within one relationship or over the course of several relationships. And usually that's reflective of something within us, not in the other person. And it could be that you keep attracting someone that is showing you what it is you need to see in yourself. And this is, it's like going back to the attachment theory. If you're an anxious person, you might continually attract avoidance so that you deal with your own anxiety around attachment, and or vice versa. And once you deal with that, then the pattern can change, or you'll recognize it a lot faster. That's another sign of maybe shadow running the show. If you're just blaming someone and the situation and the experience, that's a sign that shadow's running the show. So there's persistent, often shame, there's self-sabotage potentially, and there's avoidance. And, you know, the automatic denial, that's not me. I'm not like that. That's not my fault. That's all parts of usually the shadows running the show. And if you pay attention to your dreams, oftentimes your dreams will point to something that it is that you're unable to look at in your conscious state of mind. It's really interesting. I mean, a lot of people don't remember their dreams or they don't analyze their dreams. I love analyzing dreams. I love looking at how these pieces fit together, what they're showing me about myself. And it's interesting because often when you, this is my belief, other people might disagree with this in terms of the psychology. Often when you're have a dream about something that is pointing to something that you haven't looked at, it's generally a time where you're ready to deal with it. Because the reality is we all have shadow pieces. We'll probably always have shadow pieces within us, all of us. And the question, and you don't, and it's not like you're going to want to unpack everything at once. For one thing, it will overwhelm your nervous system. You know, physically, it'll also overwhelm you mentally. And I think that is possibly a cause of severe mental illness, is the pin gets pulled from whatever that pin is that holds us together, that gets pulled, and all of this comes to the surface at once, and it can be really overwhelming. So know that as I'm talking about this, that I guess I would say that the pieces come to you as you're ready to explore and let go of them, not any sooner. And it may be that you're stuck in the same loop because you don't look at it. I'm going to take a quick break, and I'm going to talk about the importance of integrating the shadow in terms of healing and what you can do. So stay tuned. Hello and welcome back to Ask Dr. Gill. I am your host, Dr. Gill Winkleman, and today we're talking about the shadow and those parts of ourselves that we aren't identifying with. And if you have any questions or comments, please feel free to send me an email to info@askdrgill.com. And if you like the show, please leave a review or a like down below, wherever you're listening to this, because it actually really helps in terms of getting listeners. And this is a sort of a passion project for me, and I'd like to get it out to as many people as possible. That's kind of my ask for you today. Let's talk a quick minute about the neuroscience of shadow. And what's really interesting is in my work in the last 20 plus years of doing neurofeedback, neurofeedback can be really helpful in terms of rewiring neural pathways. And what I've found is people start to have more interesting dreams as part of the process. And I suspect that there's some aspect of shadow that may be related to, I'll call it, unintegrated neural pathways that then get reconnected. Now, there's no science behind this. I just want to let you know that. It's really kind of interesting how this may be. But think about it like if you have had, I will say this, if someone has had a head injury or multiple head injuries, they won't necessarily remember all of them from one session of neurofeedback. And what I usually see is that over time of doing the neurofeedback with people, they will remember them as that layer of the onion, if you will, gets unpeeled. And I think shadow is part of that. I think that, to my point before the break, that this integration is something that happens slowly over time. It doesn't happen all at once, unless you have an amazing experience, right? I mean, I suppose it can happen, but generally people need time to integrate these things. And I think it has to do with how quickly you can integrate change in your system. That I wanted to just add that in. Why is shadow integration so essential for healing? Well, anything that you reject within yourself, you're going to reject in others. And oftentimes, that leads to a lack of compassion, which then it's a form of trapped energy. That anger, disgust, that contempt is something that holds us back from our own healing process. And there's been studies done on this, and usually they're done in the reverse. So the more grateful you are, and I have a podcast about this, the more grateful you are, the more compassion you have, the more healing that happens as part of that. Even if your situation is really bad, the more that you can have that, the more you can bring that to yourself, I think that helps your body heal, but it certainly your mental health heals. And then, you know, the other thing I would say is that, you know, integrating shadow parts of ourselves brings greater authenticity, clarity, and relation and honesty to our relationships. And I would say that in and of itself is a reason to kind of explore this, because you begin to find that there's a depth to connection that and I bring this up, and I brought this up in other podcasts. There is a dearth of real connection right now in our fast-paced society. And we talk about social media, but social media doesn't really give us an opportunity to engage with people in a way that we do when we're face-to-face or even on a phone call. And even like my talking to you through this medium right now, and if you're watching this on video, I think that it has potentially more of an engagement, but it's not the same as coming in and seeing me in person or even on telehealth. But there's something that often can get lost in this sort of one-way communication. And it's unfortunate. I mean, there's definitely some amazingness to the technology, but we still need to be aware that it shouldn't replace real connection. And I'm speaking to people who use AI for psychotherapy in particular, because I don't think that is giving you the real connection that it is that you need. Even if AI reaches singularity, well, maybe if it reaches singularity, but I suspect that there's an energetic pulse that happens between two humans and even a human and a cat that is missing from talking to the computer. And that's just my two cents on that. So how to begin the shadow work without becoming overwhelmed, look at what you judge or, you know, react strongly to. Use these moments as a mirror. Dr. Ram Dass, who's one of the spiritual teacher, one of my spiritual teachers years ago, he talked about how he got angry about a microphone on a radio show he was doing. It was the wrong kind of microphone that they had provided. And he became really upset about it. And he joked, he says, well, right now the microphone is my guru. And I think I've used that example, and I definitely use the example of other drivers when I'm driving are my guru. They're teaching me about my own impatience, you know, my own ways that I see myself that when I don't experience when I'm walking or taking the bus or you know, some kind of public transportation. And another thing you can do is as you become more embodied, and if you haven't listened to my podcast on embodiment, check that out. You can see how your body gives you signals, how there's things that tighten up or let go. Those might reveal something that's suppressed. And, you know, using curiosity instead of judgment is really important here, because oftentimes when we first see something in ourselves, you know, say you get angry when you're driving, as an example, instead of saying, what's wrong with me, ask the question of, what am I trying to learn here? What is being this protected? What am I being protected from? And with this is where therapy can be really helpful. You can dialogue with the parts, but I think doing this with a professional can be extremely beneficial. There's internal family systems therapy, there's Jungian therapy. I mean, the parts of ourselves that we have split off, often, sometimes we need help in terms of reintegrating them back into who we are. As far as other things you can do, creativity, any kind of creative expression, journaling, drawing, movement, something that's going to give a voice to what has been unspoken. And just to go back to the therapy for a minute, one of the things about therapy is there's co-regulation that happens. So being in the room with someone else, even though it can be very shameful sometimes to share what it is that you've sort of split off from yourself, having someone else there that is helping you co-regulate that experience can be very powerful. And that's been my experience working with clients, is just witnessing what it is that's going on for them can often be very healing for them. I have more I can talk about, but I'm kind of running out of time on this. Check out my website, because I have offerings on there that are helpful. And my workshop that I'll be doing next year around changing your health story, shadow is a big part of that exploration. And I hope you enjoyed this, and I will see you next time.